Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, sportive time, Yotus B. We're taking a break from our much-deserved summer vacation to come and talk to you guys for a few minutes. See, I'm trying to spin that from us being lazy to us actually doing something nice while we shouldn't have been.
That's so right.
We'll see how that works.
We're doing something good for ourselves.
Yeah. Yep. Little me time. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon. How you doing?
Good. And we've also got Chicken. Hello, Chicken.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Why don't we get started with the NHL draft, as we love to get started doing.
I know that when people were saying, boy, I wonder when the sportive's coming back, they mostly wanted to hear what we had to say about the Wild's fifth and seventh round picks this year.
You got
to
get them takes off. It's time. But it felt like there was this felt like a little more interesting draft than most drafts. Is that fair? We had some Minnesotans in the first round. I guess it happens a lot, but then we had that really stud kid that's going to our hated rivals. I don't know. It just felt a little spicier than usual. Am I wrong?
I would say when the night started out, when the first round started out on Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it was, I was not at all engaged or excited because I thought they were going to draft somebody only Chicken had heard of. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. My plan all along was just to text Chicken and be like, all right, I need a scouting report on this guy because he's got the sources. He's in the know. But as the round progressed and Oliver Moore, who I thought people had talked about him going in the top 10, hadn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. He Gopher recruit. He's sort of their big recruit for next year. And he was dropping and dropping. And you know, the NHL draft has started to, something's happening when people are texting you about the NHL. Normally it's like, oh, the NHL has a draft. I didn't know they had a draft. I thought it was just a regional thing. But I was getting texts from friends about, are we going to get more? And that's the level of excitement you don't usually see. So by the time it got down to like pick 18, I was pretty glued to it and going, well, what's going to happen here? Are they going to trade up? Are they not going to trade up? And then there was just sort of there was the first kick in the balls. They got down to pick number 19, and then of all the teams, I think on balance of all the teams, Minnesota would not have wanted to take him. Minnesotans, I should say, not Minnesota, the college. We would be Chicago. Everybody hates Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this is a hatred that goes back many decades, and to have a kid who's from Minnesota going to Minnesota that got picked by Chicago, terrible. Terrible result, compounded by the fact that it got so close to Minnesota being.
That's it. Yeah.
So it went from I'm not interested at all to I'm so interested, this is really exciting, to this is the worst moment of my life. Just a real crest.
It was that glimmer of hope where it was, had he been picked by Chicago ninth overall, people would have been frustrated, but it wasn't, you know, with the Wild picking 21st, people could see, okay, now he didn't get picked 10th or 11th or 12th. Hey, it's starting to build. 17 didn't get picked. 18. Hey, say, here we get. And then Chicago.
You shouldn't have, I mean, we know not to have hope, though. It's hard to deny it in the moment, but we know better, right?
No,
we never know not to have hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Logically, we know. Yeah,
we should know better, but we don't know better.
Well, one of the tough things, from all indications, they're saying the Wild would have picked him. I mean, Russo was on yesterday on the radio, and he said, I mean, he knows. He's basically in the room or at the desk.
Yeah.
Figuratively. He was saying they were going to pick more if he fell. And they were trying to move up to get him. but nobody, obviously nobody was moving up. It was, must have been very difficult because there literally, there was no moves in the first round, which is odd. Every year there's multiple moves and nobody was, so the prices must have been really steep.
Like, I feel like even in the last few years, NHL teams have really started to view draft picks more highly. Like, it was not that many years ago. It was, what, 7-8 years ago, the Wild traded their first round pick for Martin Hansel, who he was like a second line winger or something. Garbage. Like that. He wasn't even a good one. And they were just like, first round pick, who cares? No, he's not going to play for our team for years.
I guess if I had to take a guess, the reasons for it must be some combination of there's more analytics in hockey than there ever have been. And the salary cap just continues to be kind of stagnant. So they're looking at younger talent to fill in rather than relying on free agents or trades and using their draft capital to get those older players. It's got to be some combination of that. It just happened on accident.
Makes sense to me.
That's sort of every sport now. Like, the most important thing about every sport is not who the players on your team so much as how much production can you get out of guys who are wildly underpaid?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, all right, who are the guys on their rookie contracts and they're therefore underpaid? Can you get way too much production out of them without having to pay them?
We get a couple superstars that are possibly extremely highly paid and then everybody else is extremely underpaid?
Like, the most important thing in the NFL is your quarterback in the second year of his contract, but also really good.
Yes. Right. Or like Vegas, Golden Knights, and just cheat.
Yeah.
And just have, you know, go way over the cap and
bet. It's either a rookie quarterback or socialism. That's all that can make you win.
It is a bummer, though, like all the like analytical whatever. I get it. But in specific to salary cap, I don't think it's made anything more fun. Just like hardcore capitalism. It's like, I get it. But
if we really were truly, I would welcome ushering in true and full socialism into all professional sports, in the sense that anybody who even whispers analytics is banished. I'm not saying shot. That's going over the
scale. Whoever said shot banished. Is ridiculous. That's
But because now you're bordering on fascism, which I think they go hand in hand, but it's if you even hint that you're doing, the only people you can hire for front office roles are to be just these old crusty bastards.
Gotta
like
be
the, in the room and in that Moneyball scene, those old scouts. Anybody that resembles those guys.
Yeah.
Good. Anybody who looks like Derek Falvey. Out.
Get out. No, nerd. Nerd.
Yeah.
If they won't drink any coffee except the coffee that comes out of the 65-year-old vending machine at a hockey rink, then they're in.
Out. But yes.
Anybody who's ever been to a Starbucks, nope, can't do it.
If you use the term grit, in.
I can't. I really wish I would have been at the movie theater in 2003 when Moneyball came out with one of the A's scouts who just was like, I was a scout. We were so successful. I cannot wait to see them celebrate all of Oakland A's successes. And then being like, what the fuck is this movie about? What? This dork, this guy? He's who did it?
Oh.
When the book originally came out, and they're like, man, they wrote a book about our team. Michael Lewis, he's this journalist that does all this stuff. And then you start paging through and realize it's like every Michael Lewis book where it's like Michael Lewis and his buddy are the smartest people in the room and everybody else is dumb. And he's like, you're like, wait, I'm the idiot?
Hold on. I was employed by them. Moneyball, because we didn't have any money and we won baseball games. I got it. And now I don't.
It kind of reminds me of on KQ. Back in the day when the movie Miracle just came out. So the movie, the Herb Brooks movie, and they interviewed Lou Nanny like the day after Miracle came out. So they interview Lou Nanny, who's in the movie. He doesn't have a huge part, but he's in the movie. And, you know, Lou Nanny's kind of debonair, very well-dressed, well-coiffed gentleman. And the guy in the movie that played Lou Nanny was just the fucking troll. Just this little goofy looking bastard.
No teeth.
Oh my God. KQ just for about 20 minutes just gave Lou nothing but shit for this. It's Hollywood. Like, everybody is supposed to be better looking than you if
portrayed. Yeah, wait a minute.
And instead, it's this. Oh my God. And Lou was so upset. It just made me laugh all the way to work for like 20 minutes. I'm just rolling.
Who's playing me in this movie? Yeah. Aging Brad Pitt? No, it's Booger from Revenge of the Nerds.
Sloth in the Goonies was available? Okay.
Oh,
I thought that was a prosthetic makeup, but okay. Oh, man. Okay. So what was your... okay, so then we were briefly excited, yeah, which we shouldn't have been. And then who we ended up getting was... Fine? B-?
It was a real... It was a difficult situation because the guy they drafted, Charlie Strammel, is it Strammel or Strammel? I'll pronounce it wrong every time, so just tell me the right now.
Strammel, local guy.
Charlie Strammel, number on the one hand, went to Rosemount, local kid.
That's
on the other hand, went to Wisconsin, worst team in college hockey, and he also had a terrible year there. So, not only did he...
He's got, like,
well,
some...
He's 6 foot
maybe?
Three.
Oh, no.
The Wild really are, they're sort of running back the Doug Riseborough days when it was like, well, can't skate. I'm not saying this is true of Charlie Strammel, by the way, but he can't skate and he's never scored a goal in his life and his gloves are on the wrong hand, but he's 6'3", 220, man. Here we go.
Jesus. So this is like the Luke Longley.
But it's not. It's here. Let's just take a timeout.
Okay. Not literally. I'm not going to stop recording. Just
no,
so you know.
No, that's not. So he had a bad year last year. Undeniable.
All of Wisconsin.
If he didn't, he wouldn't have been available at 21. If he had a good year at Wisconsin, he wouldn't have been available at 21. Did well at World Juniors. Did well at the U.S. National Development Team where he was before. And then let's talk about those intangibles you're talking about. He's 6'3". Yes. But like 215 or something. So he's a big old kid. And he's
the horse.
And he's what, 18? Just turn. He's going to turn 18 in October.
A growing horse.
Wait, he's not even 18 yet. He's played a year of college hockey.
He's either
18.
No, he accelerated his schooling, and he should have been a senior in high school, and instead was a freshman.
So he is younger than the entire graduating class of Hermantown.
War Road. Yeah.
War Road. Sorry, damn it.
But
we'll
talk about
post.
So at the, they have a combine, right? Hockey does the same thing as football where they have a combine and the guys do bench press and sprints and stuff like that. So he's that big. He had the longest long jump, which whatever. You don't long jump in hockey. I don't know how familiar you are with hockey, but
don't give me any ideas, man.
I don't know how many people are.
You got the most apples in the dunk tank, which is huge, really
important.
Right,
I guess the point
we do.
So
you have a second blue line we're adding, and you got to jump from one to the other on your way.
Here we go.
So, but I guess the point. So he had the second highest vertical jump. Or excuse me. Yeah, second highest vert. Which
okay. So he's jumping up and he's jumping sideways.
Obviously, neither of which. Happen in hockey, but the point is for being that large, so that tall. So think of all these guys that get drafted in hockey. They're all little, tiny, fast, giant leg, little weirdos, right? And here's this guy.
Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah. Well, 6'3", 2", whatever. And he's one of the highest jumpers and one of the longest jumpers. The point is he's pretty athletic. He can skate very, very well. He is mean. He just had a bad year last year. So that's the hope, I guess. I don't know why I'm defending the Wild front office. I don't give a shit.
Really, okay.
I don't at all. But it's not – when I hear people say things, you know, they say, ah, oh, this is just some big, dumb, lumbering oaf. It's not at all.
He's a projectable super athlete.
Listen, well, he's big and dumb, but he's not lumbering.
Yeah, he's definitely not lumbering. He is big. I think people just caricaturize these guys pretty quick. You know what I mean? Because he's tall and okay, he's not an athlete. Well, no, he's actually a pretty remarkable athlete.
How in the bag are you for this kid?
Me?
Yeah. He's a Southeast Metro guy. You're a Southeast Metro guy. Is it like you want him to succeed an extra amount for that reason, which is fine. Because I just want to know if, like, should I get on board with him? and then we're together rooting for this guy, or maybe I want to do the thing where I go opposite and I'm like, fuck this guy because my friend likes him, because we do that sometimes too.
You know, more in the second.
You made me hate Zimmer, even though I didn't even hate him. So, like, you know.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm more in the second. Like, I'm seeing so much vitriol that I'm in the other.
Now you have to, like, even though you've already been planning on it.
I wasn't planning on it. I was in the agnostic entirely. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But now I see so many comments that are just like, are you insane? No, that's not it at all.
Yeah, this is how I started to become a Jason Kubel super fan. Kevin Slowey and all these guys. Back, yes. Like, they're not even that going good, but fuck years. You guys.
That's also like, he can't skate and he's soft. And I'm like,
soft?
No, that's not what he fucking is. That's not it. If he doesn't succeed, it'll be because of a number of other reasons, but it won't be because of that. He's not athletic enough. I'm like, are you fucking... No, that's not it.
There should be a name for this phenomenon, because it happens, at least for me, a lot, where you start defending a guy, not even because you like him, but just because everyone else is so stupid about him. They're like, God damn it. Now...
we'll call this the Braxy. This is the Braxy.
It's like, well, now I'm a Carl Anthony Towns fan, apparently. I don't even fucking like the guy. It's just everybody else hates him. So
it's not that it's also that everybody hates him. So that's okay. Now I'm intrigued. Why does everybody, because I don't like that. I don't like jumping on at what everybody's doing. And then when you see the comments that are just silly and are not based in reality, then it makes you a kind of fanatic.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That takes you to another level. So I think that's where I'm at.
Okay, all right. John, what's your plan here? Like, how much are you going to be rooting for this guy?
I can't quite tell where we're going to go with this, because on the one hand, I want to root for him. He's from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it would be very funny if Chicken continues to Braxy this guy through the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years.
It's going to be 7 years before we know.
To the point,
I'm going to forget.
Like, I want him to be great, but
I'm so tied to him.
There's a part of me that wants him to turn into Chicken's Andy Elvers. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not going to do that. No.
No, it's hard to top. It's hard to top the Elvers. You don't want to go full Elvers.
I always enjoy on this podcast when we gaslight somebody by claiming they did something that they didn't do. Like, man, you were in on Levi Michael from the start, man. You were all about that guy. And it just gets worse and worse. Yeah.
Yeah. The more you argue against it, the harder they go. So sometimes you just got to lean into it. Be like, yeah, I was super into Andy Elvers.
Yeah, you can't. That's right.
We call this the putting your jeans in the freezer.
Matthew, exactly.
On this podcast.
Yeah, so, no, seriously, even I was like, did I do that?
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense. It doesn't sound like me.
I don't remember. What freezer was it? Where was I living? I don't even own jeans.
Oh, you did.
When did I have jeans?
I saw them. We were at your house, and they were stacked. They were nicely stacked. Dozens of pairs.
Just so many pairs of Levi's. There wasn't even any ice cream in there. The whole freezer. I was looking for a frozen pizza.
I mean, all how jeans. Much did it cost you to add that walk-in freezer to that?
I remember it because I was
cool.
Thinking,
don't get me wrong.
Sure. I would have been literally shocked, like looking in Dahmer's freezer than what I saw in your freezer. Dahmer would have been that would have been way less unnerving.
You'd go, yeah, I get it. I get it. Your glasses are kind of, and your hair is all fucked up. I mean, I did expect some body parts in here.
That's it.
Maybe an ankle.
Jeans?
But
why are there frozen jeans? This doesn't make sense. Like, now I get it. People have been serial murderers.
Yeah. There's a precedence there.
This is, but why are there frozen jeans in here? This doesn't even make sense.
Moving the skull.
Yep.
Get hold it. On. Yeah, let's push right back that.
I don't agree, but I get it. The jeans just didn't make sense.
This is now I'm angry. The skull, not so much. The jeans. You've really upset me. Okay, that got off track.
Always does.
Okay, so Strammel is our guy. He's a super young kid, so it's going to be a long time till we know. We're not exactly sure if we'll go full Albers or half Albers on him. We're just going to let the process play out. And all of a sudden, what if the opposite comes up? This kid's phenop. He's fucking amazing. Yeah. Everybody loves you. You go, whoa, whoa, ho, hey.
Where is he from? Where is he from?
That's a Wisconsin guy.
He's Swedish? Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
We got to learn. We got to know those things.
Okay. We'll let the process play out and see what happens. Sure. Okay. So what's your grade? It's like, is it just a B? Is it a B draft?
I think they should give him a C because they drafted all centers. So C for center.
Mm. Clever.
Wordplay.
That's clever.
Kind of.
I don't know. Like,
because it.
Okay.
It really
not an
was
obvious
just like,
winner loss.
They've wanted centers for like the last 20. Everybody wants a center. I think the first six picks are centers or something like that. It's like drafting shortstops in the baseball draft. Like every player is like, well, this guy's a future first baseman, but he's a shortstop. He played shortstop in college. Like everyone plays shortstop and is a pitcher. That's just the way the baseball draft works. I think, I mean, Chicken can correct me if I'm wrong, but in a lot of ways, hockey is a little bit that way too. Like if you're really good, everybody's a center and then maybe they'll end up a wing. But you don't see a lot of guys that go from wing to center.
That's pretty rare. Yeah.
From lower, you know, I was a right wing at the lower levels, but now I'm a center in the NHL. It doesn't happen.
No.
So,
I couldn't feel like in the South Suburban Conference. I couldn't quite cut it at center, but I can in the NHL. That doesn't.
So it did feel like this was the year the Wild have been looking for. Oh, we need that number one center. This has been something that's got mentioned the last 15 NHL drafts. And finally this year, they were like, listen, we're just going to take centers. All we're interested in is taking centers. We're not going to draft weird Russian guys. Here's a list of centers who could maybe play in the NHL in the next 4 years. That's our list. We don't even have other guys on our list.
Well, it sounds like that. Again, that's the thing Russo said yesterday. They had wingers more highly rated on their board than Strammel. And they took Strammel anyways, just because they said, this is a gap. We don't have a big center in our system. We have some other guys rated higher. They said Perreault. Russo said that Perreault kid was higher on their board, but they passed him.
Boy, I got to tell you, passing up a French Canadian kid to draft a kid from Rosemount.
Who can't skate? Yeah.
Were you in the room, Chicken? I'm just saying, we were saying Russo was in the room. Were you? I mean, how many times did they call you?
You know, I just finally blocked the number. Like, I can't be just taking these calls. Judd Brackett, yeah, exactly. This isn't UNICEF. I'm just gonna give this shit away for free. Right. I've got a podcast.
I've got a podcast to support.
Yeah,
at some point we're gonna try to monetize this thing in year 20.
At some point, 480 episodes later, we'll figure it out. Another 480,
we'll get there. Yeah, just easing our way in. Okay, do you want to keep talking draft in a different sport?
Which other? Oh, the NBA draft? We can talk NBA draft.
Or just the NBA in general. I know Chicken's got to get those takes off. Naz Reid, we got him. We got him, baby. He's back. We love him so much.
Crowd favorite, right?
Crowd favorite. Oh, God.
Do you like him?
Me?
Yes.
I want to build a franchise around him and Anthony Edwards. That's totally coming from the heart and not... I understand he's not as like... He is a giant, and he has the grace of a ballet dancer. That he sounded a lot lamer than an I. I sound like I'm stalking him.
Is he good at basketball?
No. He is a very trick-or-treat player, but when he's on, it's amazing to watch because he looks like a lumbering guy. I don't know why we use that word again. But he looks slow and not graceful. And then he randomly will like Euro step and dunk on like one of the best players in the league. Like every other game.
I don't like guys like Euro step. I'm off. I don't like the Euro step.
No, he'll.
I'm out.
He'll Midwest step to a dunk. It's a new one. It's a Midwest step. Yeah, it's really just straight forward. Yeah.
The Midwest step is a two-handed set shot from 28 feet.
Yeah. Yep, it's a knuckleball. Clangs out the side of the backboard.
It's actually rotating forwards rather than backwards.
Somehow, top spin.
So a 3-year deal. What, a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year player and team option, correct?
Yeah, I don't know what the 3rd-year, the protection's on it. So I think they're loosely calling it a 3-year deal, whether it's team or player.
A good enough player, and is that a long enough contract for you to be comfortable trading Cat since they play similar positions and styles?
This is a tough one to unpack. I think they're probably going, if they trade Cat,
assuming because, they would get enough of a haul back, obviously.
Right. they do have a little bit of overlap because he can shoot the three, and so he doesn't have to be in the paint while Edwards is like trying to drive into it. We're gonna just like create one problem, and then, you know, it's one of those things where like the problem is Gobert, but we can't really trade him, so we're now going to create a second problem by trading Karl Anthony Towns because Gobert is still on the team, and Nas. And
you think Gobert is a bigger problem? Gobert's lack of production so far is a bigger problem than Cat's lack of production and attitude?
Yes, I think Cat is just generally, I think Cat is much better than Gobert. And so, but he also, the rub there is like, then you're going to get a lot more assets for him versus Gobert. Gobert, I think at this point is like, he's kind of a sunk cost. He's not getting any younger. He'll have good seasons and he had some really good games last year, but he did not go to the level that they were hoping. And so now it's like, oh, we're stuck with this guy for three more seasons. Whereas Towns is like all NBA, really good, can shoot like crazy. We'll get a bunch of stuff back for him.
He's so soft and such a complainer, and he's such a big part of the franchise that does the team and franchise, because of the way he acts, gravitate towards that rather than Ant's more gritty, that attitude.
Tough guy. More of a sportive guy. He's a little more sportive, I think.
That you'd rather have. And can you not, does Cat's attitude take up so much oxygen that it doesn't allow Ant's role to flourish?
Yeah, it's possible. I think there's a good argument that he actually has been a big reason that Ant's been so great, because he's such a good shooter that other centers can't double team Edwards, because then Cat's going to drain threes. But he is a pain in the ass. He's not fun to watch a lot of games. He has moments where he stops complaining, but they're fleeting, and then he turns right back into who he is. So I would say I wouldn't miss him, but I also would be prepared that he's like, generally speaking, probably like going to add 10 wins to your, he's just that good. So they go from a 48 win team to a 38 win team. If you've got like Gobert and Edwards, Edwards is amazing, but he's still 21. 10 wins. Yeah.
Cat?
Yeah. Just in general, eight wins, 12 wins, something like that.
Yeah, but is that accounting for the losses that are generated because of all of his other bullshit?
I think last year they won like 45 games or something, and he was around for half the team. If he was around the whole time, they would have won 3-4 more games for sure, for him missing half the season. So,
well, they have those metrics where he's there and not there. What are their
metrics? The metrics in general probably call him a 10-win guy. Now, if you could trade him for another 10-win guy, that's fucking awesome. You trade him for, I mean, you wouldn't, but like Damian Lillard, then like, cool, that was awesome.
Well,
we just replaced
him. Not necessarily another 10-win guy, but how about parts that add up to 7 wins, and him being gone, Cat being gone, allows Ant to grow.
Yeah, but I still think,
or 7 wins.
If you want Ant to grow, you got to get rid of the big lumbering oaf in the middle named Rudy Gobert that takes up all the space in the middle. That's what you really need to do. You just can't do it. He's just too. That's Ant. If Ant was, this is what we were hoping. Ant would become a pick and roll guy.
Put your arms down. You're on offense. You're blocking the basket.
What are you doing? No one can see the rim.
No one can see the rim while your arms are right there.
Ideally, you would have wanted Edwards to learn how to play like a James Harden pick and roll guy Trae Young. Not stylistically. Luca, like, just pick a guy who's good at pick and rolls. I'm sorry. Just name a guy that you like who's good at pick and rolls.
Are there any guys who are good at pick and rolls that are also not the worst people to watch ever?
Jeffrey Dahmer, for example, was a really good pick and roll guy.
I hear what you're saying. I guess unless basketball's changed considerably in this offseason, I believe only one person can shoot at a time.
Yep.
Where if Cat were gone, wouldn't that allow Ant's offense to flourish more? It's not like Rudy is taking up all the offensive space. He's not taking a bunch of shots. It's Cat's. Cat's the one taking the shots away from Ant, not Rudy.
Yeah,
so
but
wouldn't Cat leaving allow Ant's offense to grow?
I think he would probably take a few more shots. They would also be way more difficult shots.
Yeah, Ant learns to shoot? Or?
I don't. That doesn't seem to me to be a personnel issue. That seems to me to be a Chris Finch structure issue.
Possible.
Around it. What are we paying Chris Finch for? Okay, it's just figure it out, Finchy.
Yeah. I my guess is they're probably just going to run it back anyway, and Naz Reid will be like their third big, and we'll see what happens. And if guys all stay healthy, maybe he has a few more less minutes than he wanted. Now, if I could, again, if I could trade Karl-Anthony Towns for like a similar, like Pascal Siakam or Mikal Bridges and something else, like a guy who's almost as good analytics-wise but fits better on the team, I'm in. I'm all over it.
And that's, I guess, maybe that the big picture, and that's really my overall point, is now with them signing Naz Reid, you don't need to trade Cat for a similar type player. You just signed one in Naz Reid. Trade Cat for the other pieces that you're missing.
Naz Reid is my... I love him to death. Every third game, he will foul out within 9 minutes. So he's not a dependable guy. He's super fun.
Cat's not dependable either. The fuck?
Yeah.
He's gone for half a season and nobody knows why. They're like, oh, he'll be back in a day. And then
every playoff game they played over the past couple of years, it's like, well, Cat got 11 fouls in the first half. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah. But
I also don't, I think Naz has played like 15, 12 minutes a night. Maybe he can play more. He's defensively somehow worse than Karl-Anthony Towns, which is hard to do. He's apparently super fun. He's just limited. He's just like, it's not going to be a guy night tonight.
If you're 7 feet tall and you can shoot, there's no way to also play defense.
No.
It's impossible.
Sorry.
To have those
too busy.
Three things.
Well, I think Naz Reid's defense could improve. Cat is who he is. He's been in the league.
Yeah.
Hey, we've been talking about Cat. It's not like he's 3 years in the league. He's like
8 years. Yeah, yeah, he's old.
It's over. He is who he is.
Yeah.
Naz at least could grow. And if you can use Cat to get defensive type players.
Yeah. I would love it. But also, like, Naz Reid is like 35% 3-point shooter, and Towns is like legitimately 40%. Like,
that get somebody else to shoot threes. I don't give a shit about
exactly.
That. Just, you got to change the culture of this group.
Yeah.
And you can't trade Rudy. Like you said, he is a sunk cost.
Yep.
You don't want to trade Ant. Okay. So what's your other option?
You can't buy out Parisian Suter because the Wild already did that.
You either you run it back or you trade Towns, probably is the two options. So we'll see what they end up doing. If I had a guess, I'd probably say they will run it back just because trading big superstars, it's very rare. As much as we like to think Siakam and Towns or Jaylen Brown and Towns or not Dame Lillard because he's too good, but like name your decent player, Trae Young, whatever. It just, those things don't really happen very often. So I think we're probably stuck with them. And I guess I can sort of see why they want to take one more year to see it play out. I'd be happy to be done with the Towns experience for sure.
I'm demanding it.
Oh, okay.
I'm demanding it, or I'm pulling my tickets.
Well, no. Hold on. Hold. We got to have you. Oh, my God.
Well, James Harden is available, so one-for-one swap right there.
Yeah.
Bring Harden to Minnesota, watch Embiid and Towns fight to the death every night.
Yeah. Just okay, so they signed Naz Reid. That's A+.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
These two kids they drafted.
They drafted two kids, one of them, Leonard Miller,
Leonard Maltin.
Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen. And then
we got a Leonard Maltin and a Leonard Cohen.
And then Jalen Clark, I believe, who's injured. Yeah. And it would be amazing if he came back. But it's going
to
be.
He's more likely to play this year than Leonard Cohen. I love the Clark pick.
Okay, that's interesting. Do you have like a deeper scouting report you'd like to go through?
I am enamored with defense in the NBA, guys who can play defense and who are wired to be shut down defenders in the NBA. It's just such an odd, like, that can't shoot, that are, well, I don't know how old he is. What is he, 20?
Yeah.
Like, so he's been playing basketball for 16 years, let's say. And because he played at UCLA, he has had access to the greatest trainers and shooting coaches and in the world.
Yeah.
And he can't shoot.
Can't do it.
Like,
is that crazy?
And he's obviously an insane athlete.
Yeah.
And if you're good at playing defense, and you obviously have the work ethic in order, it's not like he's just lazy and he's not going to work at shooting. He's obviously got the work ethic in order to do. How can you just not shoot a basketball? Like, good. It doesn't.
I have
there's nothing, There's nothing more fascinating in all of sports than players who are good enough at a set of skills to overcome their absolute ineptitude at another skill.
Well, right?
Edgar Martinez in baseball, amazing hitter. I don't think he even owned a glove the last 10 years of his career. No. They never tried putting him in the field. He couldn't run faster than any of
that's
us.
Fair.
But he was a good enough hitter. Or, I mean, we talked about Josh Okogie on the Timberwolves, or I'm sure there's guys in other sports too. It's a little harder, but
no, the number one example you just pointed out is Josh Okogie. To me, he's an unbelievable defender. If Josh Okogie never learns to shoot, he'll make he's still so amazing. He'll make $30 million in the NBA. If Josh Okogie learned to shoot a three pointer at a regular clip, like the guys at Lifetime clip, he'd make $200 million. We're talking $100 million. And all he has
Jason
to do
Kidd.
Is...
Yeah. Isn't that what Jason Kidd did?
But Jason Kidd was so good at every other thing. He's still a Hall of Famer. Josh Okogie is a world-class defender who's the ninth man who can barely even get minutes in the playoffs because it's just defense is... Sorry, dude. Not that important.
I was trying to think of a hockey example. This one's for Chicken. I'm going to give you a name. Keith Carney, former defenseman for the Wild. Played 1,018 NHL games.
Mm-hmm.
How many goals did he score in his career?
1,018.
Mm-hmm. 1,018 games.
Three times. I'll say 21.
You're actually way low. 45. He scored 45. And somehow he scored 5 power play goals in his career.
Well, I should have said 40. I was thinking 3 goals a game times. He probably played 12 seasons. So I did 36 in my head was the number I was going to say. And I thought, well, but you're bringing it up. So it's probably something way less. So I discounted it. But 36 would have been a good guess.
16 seasons.
Oh, 16. My God.
He never scored more than 5 goals in a single
season. That's incredible. But he probably played 20 minutes a night. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. That's just a puck doesn't go off your ass into the net.
Right.
That's hard.
They don't have time on Hockey Reference doesn't have time on ice stats going back past 98. But for his career, for what they do have, averaged 20 minutes a night and scored 45 goals in 16 seasons.
Incredible. That's incredible. That's where you just open net at the end of the game. Three times a year.
Being on the ice.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The other team, your teammates know it and they want you to get the old empty net goal. Yeah, you just start skating really fast. They're boxing out the other guys. Score it.
You're trying to pass to a guy in front of the net and he misses it and the goalie misses it too and it goes in. That didn't happen a couple of times. That's incredible.
It's amazing.
I like the guy. I think that's a great pick. And then the other guy, I don't know. Leonard, whatever.
I'll tell you what I'm excited about with Leonard Moulton. So apparently he's 6'10" now and has a 7'3" reach. And now that they re-signed Naz Reid, I'm real excited about, for some reason, I don't know how this would happen, but for some reason, the Wolves have Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert and Kat and Leonard Moulton on the floor at the same time. 4 guys who all have wingspans over 7 feet and they get out-rebounded by Memphis, has a bunch of 6'4".
Kyle Lowry got the rebound. Yeah. He's 5'9". He's 40 years old.
Just watching Chris Finch on the sideline, his soul left his body 2 seasons ago of just watching the anger and the vein popping out on the side of his neck. I'm looking forward to that. That's what I want to happen.
Just Chris Paul is not even on the team. How did he get that rebound? Yeah. That brings me to quickly another topic I wanted to touch on. You were saying about how frustrated Chris Finchie mm-hmm. must be. So I want to move on quickly to the Twins.
Yes.
And I also wanted to ask Chicken here your philosophy. I was wondering if we could kind of consider you like the accountability coach for Minnesota yep. sports kind of in general. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just it's a role that you've been unofficially playing. I think we might as well just put it in writing here. Mm-hmm. And so my question for you with the Twins, I feel like I know the answer, but I'd love to hear a little bit of your philosophy, is how do you go about assigning blame between the front office, who I think you believe is incompetent, yep. and the players, who are highly paid, but are also a bunch of fucking losers. And so I'm curious, like, in this Twins example...
Don't forget
example,
the coaching staff. Don't forget the coaching staff.
And the coaching. So there's a bunch of different factors here. How do you go about, in your process, you get in your little bunker... you know, you get in the lab, you punch in key card, all that yeah. into your lair, and you go, I got to break this down. These Twins are sure. bad. They're really fucking bad. Mm-hmm. Who's how do you get there?
Well, it's a lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of sweat,
elbow grease.
Yeah, it doesn't just come free. I think people tend to want to lean towards a zero sum game where you can only blame one. It's either the front office or it's the coaches or it's the players. And they'll argue back and forth rather than a pie chart or assigning percentages is really the answer. It starts with the front office. They hired the manager. They signed the players. They make these horrible trades. Joey Gallo, you can be upset at Joey Gallo, but he is exactly who he's been most of his career.
He's made it clear to us. He's been demonstrating it day in and day out. He's putting in the work to show us. This is me, Joey Gallo.
No,
I'm Joey.
Be upset at Joey. It'd be like rescuing a pit bull and then leaving him in the living room with no training and being like, all right, don't eat anything.
I'm going to be
came home. Yeah. Couches all chewed up. What happened here?
I'm going to leave these infants and all these dog treats in here. Don't touch them.
Leave him alone. That ought to do it.
There are players you can blame who are obviously underperforming, so you can assign percentages of the overall blame to those players. You can assign blame to the coaches. I think you're seeing some piling on, which doesn't bother me. I saw Austin Martin talking about how the Twins, so he's a prospect, the Twins, how they changed his approach and basically ruined his hitting until he decided to go back to what got him to the major leagues in the first place, to becoming a top prospect.
Bombs only is what they said, essentially, right? And
yeah,
it's like, we are only going to care about elevate and celebrate. That's it.
Which is not where the league's going anymore. And so, you know, this organizational hitting philosophy that they've implemented is obviously a disaster when every single player is underperforming. Like everybody. So you can blame the coaches. Rocco, does this kind of, I don't think he has it in him to be yelling and, I'm really mad. I'm Rocco. I'm mad. No, you're not.
You're going to go full Rocco on you. You're going to hate it. It's
Rob Lowe and Parks and Recreation. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's knock it off. And then the front office, who's just in year eight, and pitching development, which is supposed to be their bread and butter, is not there. We're not seeing just prospect after pitching prospect in the top 100 of prospects in the major leagues, and all of their top pitching they acquired from other organizations. They didn't draft them. They didn't develop them. So,
The guys they have developed are all in the tank right now.
Yeah. So I blame everybody. I can't think of anybody who's blameless. So,
well, how do you,
it's not a pie chart. It's three circles, all of which are completely filled. The players 100% and the coaches 100% and the front office 100%.
My question though is, you also have to be ready to to be flexible and turn on a dime here. I mean, we spent an entire year screaming about how bad their pitching was last year. Now they're really good at pitching. I was impressed with the way you were able to spin that in a way that still blames them in a kind of a cool way.
No, that's hard to, I know. You're perceptive enough and you're in marketing. I think that you can kind of see the, pull the curtain back in the wizard and see him pulling all that chain levers.
I just have to say, I was impressed with the flexibility on that one.
Well, you know what? If the job description of being the general manager or the president of the baseball operations was to only have one component of your team be good, then these guys would be very competent. If that,
well, I mean, if
we're
your team is good,
folk here.
It
we don't want to be good at everything.
It doesn't take an advanced degree from Harvard to go, all right, we've got a few guys who can hit and nobody who can pitch. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to take all the guys that can hit and trade them for pitching.
Yeah.
Am I still a genius? No, now you got no guys who can hit.
But our pitching, it's like we actually care about wins, idiot.
You look at the guys who traded, like Encarnacion Strand and Spencer Steer in Cincinnati are ripping out everybody in Cincinnati.
Lamont Wade.
Yeah,
Arise is hitting 400, obviously, but it doesn't.
You can't
give them credit for being like, well, we lost all our money on this stock, and we had some left in this stock, so we traded everything. We sold that, and we bought a different stock that is kind of doing okay. I guess the genius.
Yeah. So, maybe the answer has been staring us in the face. Maybe we should just become Reds fans.
No.
All right.
Well, no. I do. Mark
that rookie
Schott
guys.
Is Mark Schott still the owner?
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, active on TikTok.
No, she's bad. I'm trying to think she's about Mark Schott. Well, I was just trying to think. No, I don't think she's a good person. I was just
trying to look it up, but I think she was one of those Hitler made some good points.
Oh yeah,
ladies.
At first, I was just kind of thinking, oh, she like beer and cigarettes. I like, and then
she went to the next level
in my memory.
She Albers the wrong guy.
Yeah. I can't. Marge Schott is bad enough that I can't. There are things where I'm like, did she do that or did Ralph Engelstad do that?
Yeah,
I can't remember which one of us.
Oh, that's a great trivia for next episode.
Yeah. Marge Schott or Ralph Engelstad?
Schott or Engelstad?
Threw a birthday party for Hitler. Marge Schott or Ralph Engelstad?
Trick question.
It was that one was both. That one was both.
We both went there. Oh, that was where the joke went. Yep. Okay, cool. Interesting. Well, it's been, I don't really know how else to, I haven't been watching a ton because youth sports, which is our next, which is our next topic. But man, just reading the headlines and trying to follow the box scores and looking at clips. The problem for me is I got to go to one game this year and Buxton hit two 460 foot bombs and Joe Ryan threw a complete game shutout. And I had like six beers with my friends and I was like, baseball is the best.
Yeah,
the
and it was like 2 hours. And
2 hours. We had so much time. You know, we had to I'll be home at X amount of time. We're like, holy shit, we can go and drink more beers.
You're at Sheik's at 9:13.
Still like just super bright outside. Like, all right, I guess I got all the ones.
That was a day game too. Brandon was at Sheik's by 2:15.
I know,
banging on the door. How come you're not open yet?
Something to come out of Sheik's in the sun.
The game ended early. Come on, let me in.
When you've been in Sheik's for 7 hours and you come out and the sun's still out,
I know.
That's a tough day.
Yeah. So that was, I'm a little, a little biased there, but no, just half paying attention has been, and man, the existential crisis that our, the Aaron Gleemans and the Nick Nelsons and our other pals of the world go through is just, that's really trying. And they're like in first place. I mean, it's just like, what the fuck is happening? It's just awful.
I stopped going after him, but there are a few people out there, kind of the eternal optimists of the Twins, like that will defend everything the coach and front office does. And
it's very.
It's not hate because I don't hate these people, but it's kind of hate trolling, like watching their scrolling through their accounts, just be like, oh god, this has to be so hard. Right? Like the lineup came out today; they had the team meeting. Oh, and big changes. We gotta shake this up. Way too comfortable. This is so, we're holding everybody accountable. and they moved Correa to leadoff and Gallo to ninth. Like, no, they didn't call anybody up. They didn't bench anybody. They didn't DFA anybody. They just moved Correa to leadoff and Gallo down to ninth. Like,
that'll do it. That's never worked in the history of organized baseball, but now's the time. Now's the time.
Watch these poor bastards that just defend everything they do. It's almost impressive watching them.
Yeah, and I think that we assign so much genius to even the good moves. You know, like, I bet they spent so many hours just talking this thing out when actually they're like, well, these guys called us about this guy. I think we can fit in the budget. All right.
Yeah.
Let's try it. They probably have guys in their team that they're like, I don't even like this guy. I don't even want him on the team, but the contract's complicated and I tried to trade him and I couldn't and I don't know what else to do, so fuck it, I guess he's still on the team. Like, there's probably half the team like that.
Well, Gleeman was saying yesterday that, like, he has asked them specifically, why Kepler over, like, Walner? Like, what are we doing? What the hell are you people even thinking? And their point is, Kepler's floor is higher than what, like, what happens if we call up one of these AAA guys and they come up and hit, you know, 0.75.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's neat. But then,
sure, it could happen.
Yeah, it sure could. Unfortunately, Kepler is doing that now.
But the point is, we don't know about those other guys. We know about Kepler. We figured it out.
And how are you ever going to find out if you don't play them?
Like, aren't you curious?
22. They're like 25. They're like 26.
Yeah. So, I know.
Hey, Stu.
I don't know. Stu's here.
They're practically on the War Road hockey team, is what Lawrence is trying to say.
We already did that one.
Oh, God damn it.
Second time. We've used lumbering four times.
Oh, yeah. That's the word of the day.
War Road, I don't know why.
That's just the worst thing. Someone says a kind of an interesting word, and then you immediately use it again, and you're just like in a meeting, like, oh, fuck. Sorry, Stacy.
You're just lumbering right into that joke again.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. That sucks when that happens. Stu, we've been complaining about the Twins.
Oh, Jesus.
Kind of aimlessly. Just like how hard this is for the people who have to care about baseball. Like, we can check out, but like, poor Aaron. Just got to keep watching Aaron's these guys.
There's no, the Real Housewives don't have a summer show that he can get into. So it's really, he's fucked.
I mean, it's his job. But I don't have like these... I don't have to argue about like Best Buy's success like on Twitter all day long that they're like actually a bad or good company, you know? No, brings us to our next topic. Best Buy, good or bad? No, but that's got to be just an extra level of heartbreak or whatever. Yeah. No, like, thank you.
For Twins Daily today, I just wrote about New Girl. I didn't want the Twins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I ranked the six. We can actually do this at the end if you want to. The six best main characters. And there only were six, so it made it very easy on the show.
You're bringing your top six into writing? Is that what we're doing here?
I put my top six into writing because I didn't want to write about Emilio Pagan anymore. It's
no. Just, no.
That, yeah, is I, that,
coach,
yeah.
Is Coach one of the six?
Coach is one of the six. He's actually six.
Here,
he's
six. Think of six. Got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's hard to watch, man. I mean, John was right. I mean, he said the offense was bad a month ago, and John was right. He's not here to hear it, and that's important. But
he got up and left. We can still his camera's still on, which is always a little you know, when someone does this in meetings.
Activity six, Falcon Heights.
They just get up and you're like, oh, there could be like murderer walk through. What are we gonna do? Like, we just have to sit here and watch it. We can't like.
I don't know his home address. Like, I don't have.
No, we literally would just sit here.
There's an actual goddamn cornfield across the street, so that's never good.
Like, go to Roseville.
It's taught me anything. Okay, don't live across the street from a cornfield.
Way I could get you there is send the cops to the state fair.
Yep.
Like the front doors, and then they got to go back north.
Go to north till you see a cornfield, and then like go into the basements that are near there, and there's one murder happening in there. One minimum. There's maybe more. We're just sitting here watching it. Okay.
I gotta take this call, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right. Okay. Go on mute. Unless you want us to hear it. He did. Did a nice job. Okay, you're showing up here late, just so you know. We did start this precisely.
No, I know. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
So I was Some of us don't get PTO all the goddamn time, Best Buy, but that's
how,
okay.
How the mighty have fallen. We started out doing this at our home together. And then we sometimes tried to find a bar. And then we went to Zoom. And now the lowest of the low, Zoom during our lunch breaks in the middle of the afternoon podcast. I mean, this is pathetic. I mean, what's the next thing before work?
I took the train home to get here because they're closing the office because there's no one around and they're locking up. So,
I mean, I do. I was going to say the most pathetic would be the before work thing. But even then, there's a little bit of like, I got my shit together. I got up early. I knocked this out early today. This might be the lamest way to record a podcast over a lunch break.
That's fine. I mean, you know, I wasn't for lunch anyway. I was going to go over to Malcolm Yards, and that's I had to save myself $30 by doing the podcast instead.
Minimum. That place. Whew, spendy. I mean, you know what's crazy,
It's also like it's the closest lunch option for me. If I didn't bring my own, it's that or the very sad Fresh Thyme hot bar. I don't mind Fresh Thyme, but their hot bar at the Prospect Park location leaves a little to be desired.
You know what was insane to me when we went to Malcolm Yards is there were so many college kids there. I was just turned into an old man of like, you shouldn't have the money to go here. This is expensive. You're supposed to be like in a...
That's
a completely mom. Dark. I mean, do those super.
Happy if you have you seen the Supreme Court rulings today? You're going to be happy because they don't have any more money. It's over. So,
but like, I don't even know if those basements do they still exist? Hopefully, I'd love to think that like the college basements with no lighting that are like wet all year long. They need to still exist for like our immune systems for those kids.
That neighborhood. That's where all that stuff is now. Where it's where all the U of M, like, you know, shitty rat trap houses were, is where all this stuff is getting built. That's, so basically, I'll tell Omar that's his fault. So,
yeah, thank you.
It's all that buildup is around Surly. So
it was an important part of growing up, and now we're hanging at Malcolm Yards.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't get it. Oh God, John, is John here? Is that John?
I'm alive. John's the cornfield didn't take me.
We were terrified.
Only the saddest 6-year-old of all time.
Okay.
Oh boy.
So we bitched about the Twins for 55 minutes. Is that about right?
No, we got through the NBA. We got through the NHL. The other thing that we needed to get through, and I'm pathetic and I have a hard stop here in a little bit, 20 more minutes. I want to do a youth sports check-in. We generally end up talking about this a little bit anyway, but now a little bit more of a formal topic here. Chicken, did you have a youth sports topic here?
No, I'm regretting because it was more if we were searching for topics. It's not, you know, with Stu here now. I'll maybe go really quick. It was more of Brandon. John, sure. Your kids aren't old enough to know yet.
No.
So I'll ask really quick. We don't have to get into it deep. I got a buddy that has no kids in youth sports that I grew up with. So we grew up playing sports together. He has nothing but daughters and they're not in sports. He has gone to his nephew and to my son's games in various sports. And he has a theory. He has an observation, but he has no explanation for it. And he's an analytical person. So he has his MBA from Harvard. He owns a bank.
Oh my God.
Like he.
You're so friends with him?
He grew up like 6 houses down. He was out of his control. Like his parents moved next to mine. Out of his control. And in retrospect, I'm sure
he
regrets it. But
yeah.
So very quick, Brandon. His thoughts were he has gone to a number of different youth sports, and this is like at the teenage level and higher. These sports that are, I don't even have a good explanation. I don't have a good term for it. Youth baseball is not as good as it was 30 years ago, but things like hockey and football and maybe even basketball, I don't know basketball, he doesn't either, are much significantly better. And even if baseball is better or even the same, it hasn't improved at the same rate as these other activities, but he has no explanation for it. And I think I agree, but I'm looking for a third or a fourth on this. And if you notice the same thing, or are we both drunk? And if you do agree, do you have an explanation?
I don't know that I, well, I definitely agree with you on basketball is a lot better than it used to be, just in general. The kids are so much more skilled, at least in Minnesota. The stuff that kids are doing in high school barely was done in college even 20 years ago. Like, it's obscene. Like, it's barely the same sport.
The women's game has improved substantially. It's
yeah. So my theory with women's game in particular is there's so many more playing. They're actually playing it growing up, and it's evolving so quickly. And same with basketball.
Well, no. Well, but not for girls, maybe. But for boys, like, just as many boys play basketball as they did. As far as percentage-wise, like...
Percentage-wise, I think is right, but I think that there's more, like, serious drills and camps, and it's just taken more seriously. Like, maybe, but like, shooting form seems to be, like, they figured out how to... an optimal shooting form, and they put it on the internet, and now everybody knows how to shoot from, like, age 7. Whereas before, like, your coach, youth sports basketball coach, may not really know what he's doing because he's just doing what he knew. Now we have all the answers on the internet. Even if he's hungover, he downloaded the YouTube video and he'll just show you that and sleep one off in the corner. So it's like there was more room to go in basketball because they used to be like so low skill, even though they played. I mean, when I was a kid, I played like a basketball. It would go to camps or whatever. And it was just like, I don't know, you two were on this side and you two were on that side and run this way and do a pick and roll the other way. And we'll see if that works. And just do that the whole time. That's play one. Just call play one. And now that we're doing that at much younger ages and we've figured out like through diagrams and everything else, it just like has been an easy thing. Baseball, I don't know if there was a way to like, there's like a whole lot of technique involved at that younger age that was going to make anybody a whole lot better. You just need to practice baseball all the time and you'll be good. And so people have been practicing baseball all the time for 50, 100 years. Now pitching, for one thing, as we've seen, has like completely upended the game because there is a bunch of like scientific things you can do with like your hips and you're keeping your shoulder, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not going to get into all that boring shit, but that's why all of a sudden guys in the matter of what, 15 years have gone from throwing 91 to 101, something like that. Like, it's almost defies reason. Because there is technique and science to that. But in hitting, that's the thing that kind of is a bummer about hitting. There's not the same amount of, you know, there's slow-mo videos and stuff. But if they had figured out, like, the equivalent for hitting would be, like, a couple different mechanical tweaks, and now you can hit the ball 590 feet, right? Whereas the same as pitching or whatever. And that just doesn't exist, I don't think.
That's his exact point. So if you set just velocity of pitching aside, that has changed. But that is that is a fraction of the game.
And that's when you're fully grown, the kids.
We're talking about youth sports. They're way worse fielders. They are, and that hasn't changed. Like, they're just way worse fielders. They are.
Do you think the best kids are worse or just in general kids are worse? Because I look at the Little League World Series and I see some kids making some unbelievable plays. I'd have to go back and watch YouTube of like the 1985 World Series.
I think you're extrapolating out the top 0.02% of youth players who are in the Little League World Series, and you're projecting that onto the entirety.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think those kids have gotten better, but I think the 11-year-olds, we were turning double plays at 11, and now they're still at the same rate as they are now, probably, right? Don't you think?
At the same rate or even worse.
Yeah, maybe.
Why are those things when they should? I mean, the fields are better, way better.
The gloves are better.
The equipment's way better. The coaching is better. Their access to materials are better. Why are those components and even hitting to some aspect not keeping up with the other things that are existing?
You know, I don't think this really has much to do with it, but I would definitely say there's a little, as coaches for baseball, we're not great at like using the practice time on the things that actually matter in games very much. We do a lot of just like traditional historical, like after we do, and you probably the same thing with your team, after we do batting practice before the game, then we have them all 12 of them go stand in the outfield and take fly balls for 25 minutes, even though they're going to take 30 out there. They're going to get one every other game. What they should be doing is coming in here and just taking more swings, hitting. That's what matters, right? And then take like 3 outfield flies and do that on your own time or whatever. So like there's, I think there's a little bit more of like here's the stuff that we do because it feels like it's a baseball thing, whereas because of the tradition and history, whereas you don't have that in basketball of like, we're just going to do a bunch of weird shit that doesn't actually matter in games. That we do that in baseball too much, for sure. Like, not we, like I don't do that stuff, but like, you see that as like part of baseball. Of like, well, that's tradition. Sliding practice, all practice. You're like, what? Why? So I don't know, man. Maybe that's it.
Maybe it's because there's a lot of things in every other sport you can practice by yourself, but in baseball, you need another person to practice with. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to practice hitting, you need somebody to throw it to you. If you're going to practice throwing, you need somebody to catch it.
Yep. That's a good point. That might be it, too. But basketball, you can dribble all day long, all by yourself, and you can get so good at it.
Your basketball shooting, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You need one of you.
Yep. Yep. That's a good point, too. Okay. I have another youth sports question. This is geared toward you, Chicken. I'm wondering if you had any post-game sports strategy. You get home, it's time to unwind, the game just happened. What's your routine, and specifically how many beers are you drinking in that? What's the optimum amount of beers to drink after the baseball game? Because I just want to make sure.
All of Brandon's youth sports questions center around drinking beers.
Like, I did look at the
parking lot or at home.
I did look at the agenda from last month, and I did.
How many is normal?
Yeah.
Am I an alcoholic?
Just kind of curious what the option, because you have to have one. That's kind of required and helps you sleep. But I'm just kind of what's your? Yeah. It's kind of a good happy. It's kind of a little bit of my happy place too. I was wondering if that's the same for you.
For home games, it is. I think the difference between you and I for away games is, often I have to drive an hour and a half home, which allows for that decompression. Obviously, there's the negative side, but the good side is by the time you're home, you're just like, it's fucking 10:30.
Yeah,
you've been driving across, 218 is a lonely road
for me.
So by the time you get home, you're kind of exhausted and you can decompress a little bit. I had no set routine depending on how the game went. Mm-hmm. If we won, a lot of congratulatory on myself. Like, I just won that game.
Hell yeah.
I out-coached the other guy. And, the kids are kind of indifferent. They're just chess pieces to me.
I moved them around to where they needed to be moved.
I don't know, Brandon. Ideally, there was parking lot beers afterwards and that, mm-hmm. and you can talk it over and then move on. But that drive home, I think, helped a lot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because most of ours are 5 minutes
from
home.
If you got like butt fucked by the ump,
mm-hmm. I need
20. And 10 before I write the email or the phone call to the guy in the league office.
Yeah.
And then drink another 10 before you press send. Because you don't want to go overboard.
You wait, yeah, but you gotta have a little bit just a proofread to kind of get in their mindset, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to go overboard.
No, you want to have that cooling off period.
Yeah,
that's
important. I think it's important to have those 20 beers in you as a cooling off period before you press send.
I got a formal warning from an umpire last week and almost got kicked out.
Nice.
I got the one more word and you're out of here.
Was he squeezing you? Brandon, squeezing you?
Were you pitching or youth sports?
No, that's
youth
were
sports.
You pitching or coaching?
You don't get to set that. This isn't the UN. He doesn't get to set the convention.
Yeah,
that bothered me.
What sucks though is it's really effective.
I'm yielding time to the senator from Nebraska. Yeah. Bullshit. We can have a discussion. That's not how this works.
We were losing 3-2. Kid was up 3-1 count, a pitch up and out, not even remotely close. The rule, if the catcher's not even trying to frame it, it's not a strike. Move on. Give my kid a walk and let's keep going. Mm-hmm. And he called it a strike. And I was like, good job not swinging. Never swing at that pitch ever. Good job. That's great baseball. And I said it really loud.
He knows what you're doing.
Yeah. So the umpire looked at me and I gave him, and we're not recording the video, but you guys can see one of these, like, what are you looking at me for? Kind of big shrugs. Like, yeah, what? I can say that to my, and then of course he rings my kid up on the next one and the inning's over.
Which probably wasn't a strike either. You probably cost him that at bat.
Dude, it was like the worst call of the entire year.
Yeah.
And so my kid's really bummed out, and I go immediate, like, holier than thou sort of deal. Like, kind of like I'm a bigger man than you. And I was like, hey man, if you're mad at me, that's fine. Yell at me. Don't take it out on my kids. They're kids, yeah, man.
You got them. You don't got take him.
It. And it's like, I'm in front of my parents or whatever. And then Danielle, by the way, is watching me do this and is live texting our friends. Brandon's about to get kicked out of a game. Here's what he's saying. Like, and I'm getting the notifications in my pocket as I'm yelling at this guy. I was like, don't do that to my kids. Okay. We're both here for the kids. Don't do that to the kids. Okay. You want to yell at me, you yell at me. And he's like, formal warning for shrugging your shoulders. I was like, yes, for what? For shrugging my shoulders? Yes. I'm like, I've looked at the league rules. I'm pretty sure I can shrug my shoulders all I want, sir. He's like, that's enough of your attitude. One more word and you're out of here. And that, it does suck because it's very effective, because I knew it was like, fuck, you got me. So I gave him the super sarcastic thumbs up right to his face and just like backed out. And then saw like the 11 text messages of me getting laughed at. So it was tough. That was like maybe not a low moment in my life, but definitely a low moment of the summer. That sucked. It was in front of all the parents. But I will say Danielle usually blames and correctly blames me for all these things of like, well, you're the idiot. Even she was like not yelling at me about that one. So I think I was the real winner there. I didn't say she supported me. I was just saying she didn't yell at me. Yeah. And that's support.
Well, that there's sort a lot of. Implied there. That silence is definitely
She agrees with me. She was just in this room and directly walked out, so never mind. I don't know if she agrees with me at all. She could have come over here and nodded or
said,
she's gone. So yeah, that was tough. That was the low part of the summer. It's a new one. Shrugging my shoulders. Apparently can't do that.
Formal. What is the formal part of that? I don't know what is there an informal? What do you mean?
Yeah, like just a kind of a casual, warning. Like, hey, bro, not cool. Like, that's maybe the informal warning. But yeah, formal warning. I think he says, I think in his mind, there's all these weird Little League rules. Like, you have to issue that to a parent or to a coach, and then the next one is automatically they're out or something. I don't have any idea. It's my first formal warning. Usually we just yell at each other and then move on. So, yeah, that was tough. It was tough. Not great.
You're fine.
Yeah. Okay. We have to wrap this up pretty quickly. Last time we were together, I was talking, I did a recommended beer, as you guys all know, it was the parking lot beer. And I thought that we all love beers so much that maybe we can end the podcast this time and maybe next time too with a recommended beer. And this one I thought made some good sense because of our beer bracket years ago. The actual winner was the first beer at the cabin beer. And so that would be my recommended beer for this weekend. You get out in 30 seconds. You got to hope you got a friend or family member ready to chuck you a beer before the car door is closed, ideally. Now that's the goal. A can of beer right to you. Doesn't matter what it is, even. I don't really have a...
You get out of the car, head on a swivel, because the beer is flying.
Here it comes. Yep, you don't want to break that car window. Or even just crack the beer, you know, like... So that'd be my recommendation for the next beer that any of our listeners have is the first beer at the cabin beer, because that one is that's the gold standard, I believe.
Yeah.
Stu, not to turn this into a plug for your company, but Surly, did you go grapefruit first beer at the cabin? What do you go
The Before I Die Lager. Yeah.
Okay.
The new
That's a volume beer.
It's a volume beer.
Solid summer beer.
Little crispy guy. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's got a smiling Grim Reaper giving the thumbs up on the can. It's my favorite thing. I love that design.
Yeah.
My friend Tanner did that one. God bless you, Tanner. It's a great design.
That's clever.
It is. So pay no attention to the purple and yellow colors on there if you're an employee
that's kind of
Minnesota Vikings.
Liquid death-esque.
That's exactly it. Yeah, it's like, we don't go that far. We don't want to get yelled at too much. We're tired of getting.
Well, I think they're genius. That's genius.
Oh yeah,
too. That whole. I mean, Liquid Death knows their fucking target. Like, and they just lean right into it. I think that's really smart. I don't drink. I don't even know what it tastes like. But
it tastes. It's water. Smart. It's fucking water, man. It's water called Liquid Death. Whoever thought of that,
I just know who drinks it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's fucking Jesus. I know who drinks it, and I know what they like. And then they just went, "All right," and then we turn it fucking 11.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Smart.
Yeah, love it. All right, that'll I think do. Let's you guys want to meet back up here like October? Yeah. Another one?
I'm actually halfway, next week is much better for me. So
good.
Halfway through the Viking season will be good.
That might be good for me too. We'll see. Hopefully getting better. You never know. Okay, we're gonna stop recording. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks.
Skull.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.